If you've closed your Bible, you might like to reopen your Bible. Psalm 116, page 926. Now, as we turn to Psalm 116 this morning, I have a question for you. And my question is this: why do you love the Lord? That's my question for you this morning. Now, that's a more serious question than some of you were perhaps expecting, because the last few weeks I've just asked you questions about Ferrero Rocher. And maybe you were expecting me to ask, why do you love Ferrero Rocher? Is it the creamy hazelnut filling? Is it the crisp wafer shell? Is it the way those two things come together to make the perfect chocolate snack? Maybe that was the question you were expecting me to ask, but no. Today's question is, why do you love the Lord? How would you finish this sentence? I love the Lord because... How would you finish that sentence today? As we come to Psalm 116, this is a psalm that gives us an answer to that question. Gives us a very personal answer. A personal answer that leads us to reflect on our own personal answers to that question. Why do we love the Lord? The previous psalms we've looked at the last few weeks have been quite big picture psalms that have talked about nations and about the whole of creation, about mountains and rivers and hills. And all the language has been we and us. But now in Psalm 116 we come right down to me, to I, to you individually. To think about our own stories of knowing and loving the Lord. And if you're here today, you may be joining us and you don't have a story of loving the Lord. You wouldn't say that you are someone who loves the Lord. Maybe you're interested in Jesus. Maybe you're intrigued by him. Maybe you're a bit confused about what you think of Jesus, but you wouldn't say that you love him. Well, if that's you today, I'm glad you've joined us. I hope that today you'll see something about why we love Jesus as a church. And why we'd love you to join us in loving him. So we'll start by looking at how Psalm 116 answers that question, why do you love the Lord? And then we'll see something even more amazing when we think about what it meant for Jesus to sing this psalm as he approached his death. Let's see the answer that the psalm gives. Psalm 116, why do you love the Lord? I love the Lord because he has heard my voice. These are precious words, aren't they? I love the Lord because he has heard my voice. The Lord that we've thought about the last few weeks, the one who's in the heavens and does all that he pleases, the one who has power over all of creation because he made it, the God of creation, the God of the nations. The fact they would hear my voice, your voice. I love the Lord because he's heard my voice. And Psalm 116 is a confession of love inspired by how the Lord has heard his voice, how the Lord has heard our voice, how the Lord has loved. Here in Psalm 116, how the Lord has loved in a time of desperation, in a time of anguish. Just read verse 3 again. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol, of the grave, laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. But in that distress and anguish, I called on the name of the Lord. And what happened? The Lord heard and he acted. In fact, we're told in verse 2 that the Lord inclined his ear to me. I don't know if you went to see, did anyone go and see any fireworks last night? Just me. Hannah did go as well. But just us. Well, it's the first time we went to see any fireworks for a few years in person. And what I'd forgotten, this may seem silly to say, what I'd forgotten was how loud they are. They're very loud, aren't they, fireworks? And they have this loud music as well. And if you're there at a fireworks display with all these fireworks going off and the loud music and all the crowd noise, if you're there with a small child and the small child wants to say something to you, what do you have to do? You have to bend down and put your ear very close to their mouth so you can work out what they're saying, because you want to hear what they're saying. It's important. It's your child. You incline your ear to them. And that's what the Lord does to us when we cry to him in our distress. It's like he bends down so he can catch every single word. He inclined his ear to me. And I imagine most of us can relate to the experience of this psalm that we've heard. The experience of being in a desperate situation. Maybe even feeling that the snares of death encompassed you. Feeling like darkness covered everything in your life, like you were trapped in some situation of distress and you couldn't see a way out. In a desperate situation and not knowing who you can turn to, and then turning to the Lord, and later being able to say, he heard my voice, he heard my pleas for mercy. I don't know what your experiences have been, but I imagine all of us can relate to that experience of being able to say, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice. Of course, there are situations where we cry out to him and he doesn't act in the way we'd hope. We'll come back to that in a moment. But just at this point, we can pause and remember those times where he has acted, maybe even beyond what we would have expected, where he delivered our soul from that death-like dark situation. Verse 8, delivering our eyes from tears where our eyes were filled with sorrow, that he wiped those tears away. Delivering our feet from stumbling, keep us following him even through the trials that we faced. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. And whatever situations you're thinking of at the moment of where you've seen the Lord act in that way. And the psalm reminds us that those are kind of exceptional examples of what the Lord is like all the time. They're just particular examples of what the Lord is like every single day of the week, every week of the year. That as we read in verse 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous, our God is merciful. And there may be particular moments where we see even more clearly how gracious and righteous and merciful he is. But he's like that all the time. The Lord is gracious. That he loves us even through our failures. And he hears us even when we're in desperate situations, purely through actions of our own making. We're not always to blame for the desperate situations we're in, but sometimes we have responsibility, and yet he still loves us. He's a righteous God who keeps his promises even when we don't. He's a merciful God who hears us in our weakness, even when we've hit rock bottom, even when we're in our weakest moments. He's compassionate and merciful. That he's a God of love who is worthy of our love, and he shows it again and again. And again, I love the Lord because he's heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. And I wonder what moments of your life you can think of now where you've experienced that love. Maybe in a crisis of health, a crisis of faith, a crisis in your family, or something else, a situation of distress, where in your desperation, you cried to the Lord, and he heard your voice and your pleas for mercy. The place that my mind first goes when I read this psalm as I think back to earlier in the year, where, as many of you know, I ended up in a very dark place with depression. And those of you who've experienced depression will know that it can be completely all-encompassing, overwhelming, crushing, very much mentally like the snares of death encompassing you. You feel that there's no way out, no escape. And in that situation, I cried to the Lord. And what did the Lord do? Well, here I am today. The Lord is gracious and merciful. Well, I think of situations over the last year where I've had phone calls about friends that I love, including friends in this church, who've been plunged into really desperate situations. And those kind of phone calls where after you hang up, you just have to sit down in a chair for 15 minutes and not think about anything because they're so draining. And then you cry to the Lord and you can look back and say, yes, I love the Lord because he heard my voice, my pleas for mercy. It's worth taking some time today to think about what those moments have been for you. But even as I say that, we do have that nagging question that may be quite a loud question in some of your minds. What about those times when the Lord doesn't seem to have heard? I imagine most of us have had those moments as well. What about those times when the memories of past deliverances seem very distant, almost as if they happened in someone else's life? What about those moments where the sight of God is gracious and righteous and merciful, when that seems very dim and cloudy? When it doesn't feel like the Lord has heard or is listening, what then? Well, to answer that question, let's see for a moment what it meant for Jesus to sing this psalm with his disciples as he awaited his death on the cross. And as we see what it meant for Jesus to sing this psalm, we'll see an even greater answer to the question, why do you love the Lord? Jesus, singing these psalms with his disciples, he knew that his death was approaching. He knew the reality of what he would face. And we get an insight into how Jesus felt as he reflected on words like these in a statement we get in Hebrews chapter 5. And you can turn there if you like. It's on page 1809. It's just one verse. It gives us an insight into the life and mind and circumstances of Jesus ahead of his death. And it says this in Hebrews 5 verse 7. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who is able to save him from death. That sounds a lot like Psalm 116, doesn't it? He offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears, facing the reality of what lay ahead. Offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who is able to save him from death. And his testimony was the testimony of Psalm 116, that he was heard because of his reverence. Now you may think, in what sense was he heard when he was dying on the cross in humiliation and shame and pain, nailed to the cross, no way out? In what sense did his father hear him when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? In what sense could he say that he had been heard when his lifeless body was put into a tomb and the tomb was sealed? How could he say that he'd been heard? Well, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He was delivered from death. All those words that I read at the beginning of the service in Acts chapter 2. I love this verse. God raised him up loosing the pangs of death, those snares of death, the cords of death. It's very Psalm 116. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. That he was at that point where the snares of death had very literally encompassed him. And what happened? Well, death could not keep its prey. That's what it meant for the Lord Jesus. And now this risen Lord, the risen King, leaves us in singing and reading and hearing Psalm 116 with a new confidence. The confidence that if we belong to Jesus, it's not possible for death to hold us either, if we're his, if we know him as our Saviour. It's not possible for death to hold us. It's not possible for the snares of death to emerge victorious over us. I think most people around us would probably say that death is just the natural part of life. That's just part of how things are. But there's also something in us that recognises that death doesn't feel natural, because we get so angry about it, don't we? Even people who don't believe in a God, we get angry in the face of death, and we get angry because death isn't actually natural. It's very unnatural. It wasn't part of the original creation when God made this world. The first humans were not made to die. But death has come into this world because of sin, because of our disobedience against God, because we've turned away from the God of life who made us. That's why we die, because we've all been part of that disobedience against God. It's why we die, not just physically, but then facing that eternal separation from God which comes. But Jesus came to deliver us once for all from that death we deserve for our sin, that death that follows our sin. He died in our place on the cross to deal with sin once for all, so we could be delivered from that death we deserve and brought into eternal life. That even now, if we're trusting Jesus, we can say that we have been delivered from death, that spiritually we are alive forever in Jesus. I will still face that physical reality of dying, and that's a really painful thing. But if we know Jesus, we know that death cannot keep its prey, if Jesus is our Saviour. Verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So precious that the Lord himself came in the flesh to die so we could have victory over it, so we could have life in the place of death. And one day we'll sing this psalm or something like it with Jesus in glory. And be able to see the words of verse 8 even more gloriously and wonderfully. To say to Jesus, you've delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. To say to Jesus, you have delivered me from death. You've brought me safely through death into eternal glory, where death has no hold over me or any of your people, where death is no more. That one day we'll be able to say, Lord, you have delivered my eyes from tears, you've wiped away every one of my tears of all of the sorrows of the past, and there are no more sorrows to come. That one day we'll be able to say, Lord, you've delivered my feet from stumbling. You've kept me from stumbling so you can present me blameless before the presence of your glory with great joy, as Jude puts it. So I can walk before you in the land of eternal life. That's the future for all who call on the Lord now. For all who call on him for mercy. For all who call on him. I love the Lord because he's heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. And in those moments where our cries seem to be unanswered, where we cry to the Lord and nothing seems to change, Well, we can look back at that moment where he first heard our cry for mercy. When we realise the reality of our sin and the death that follows our sin and the separation from God that would lie ahead. And we cried out in our sin, crying out for forgiveness and life. And in his mercy he heard us to forgive our sin, to give us new life, to give us a new relationship with him, to give us hope. In those moments where our cries seem to go unanswered, we can look back and see the tomb is empty. We remember the hope that we have. Yes, the Lord is gracious and righteous and merciful. Yes, I love the Lord who first loved me. And we keep crying out to him. We keep crying out knowing that he can deliver us because he's done it before. And we keep crying out knowing that one day deliverance will come. Now, in some situations, we know we'll have to wait until glory for that full deliverance. And that's not easy. Because when we're crying out in the middle of desperation, when do we want it to end? Now. Or at the very latest, tomorrow. Waiting isn't easy. But we have a merciful Saviour, Jesus, who himself has been through death. And we look to him to lead us through. We keep crying out. We keep saying, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. So that question I asked at the beginning, why do you love the Lord? How would you finish that sentence? I love the Lord because ... I wonder what your answer is today. If you were to write a psalm, which you could do later on if you wanted. Some Christians find that kind of thing helpful, to write a kind of meditation, a poem or a song. But what would your answer be? What's your story? What the Lord has done? Now, it could be that you are here today and you don't actually have a story. You don't have an answer to that question. But the good news is that your story can begin today. That even today, you can call on the name of the Lord. You can ask that he would forgive your sin, your disobedience against him, that disobedience that all of us are guilty of. You can come thanking him for sending his son to die for our sin. You can call on him, asking that he would forgive you in his mercy. He'd give you new life, eternal hope. You could pray asking that he would deliver your soul from death for eternal life. You can come and find the beginning of a life of saying, I love the Lord because he's heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. And I'd love to chat to you before you leave the building if you want to know more about what it means to call on the Lord. And if you're here today and you do have a story, part of the message of this psalm is, don't keep it to yourself. The story that's worth sharing. Just look down at verses 17 and 18. Part of the response of the psalm to all that the Lord has done. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Now, some of that language may sound a bit odd to us because it's related to Old Testament temples and things, and vows that you find people making more in the Old Testament, where people say that if the Lord delivers them, then they will respond in a certain way. But even if we don't make vows, we can still offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving in response to the Lord's deliverance. And like this psalm, we can do it in the presence of all his people. We can do it in the presence of others, not just privately. In Hebrews chapter 13, we're in fact called to offer up a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Hebrews 13, 15, through him, through Jesus, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. To say, I love the Lord because he's heard my voice. And if you know Jesus, if you're here today and you know Jesus, you have a wonderful story that's worth sharing. Last Sunday, you may have noticed that we weren't here. Thank you, James, for preaching last Sunday. And we were down in Plymouth and we went to a church there, and a lovely church. And afterwards, I was chatting over coffee and cake with someone who may or may not have been called Gordon. I can't remember. But we'll say he was Gordon. And me and Gordon were chatting about our stories and how we came to know Jesus. And I was telling him, as many of you know, that I grew up knowing some things about Jesus and I had some experience of church, but it was never really real to me until I went to university. And that's the moment where I realised that Jesus is the one who alone could give me life. And I called on his name and he heard my voice and a cry for mercy. And Gordon asked me, was that moment, he said, was that a dramatic moment when you became a Christian? Was that a dramatic moment where you came to know Jesus? And in one way, my answer is no, because like I wasn't some kind of mafia drug lord. I didn't have to go and burn like loads of books of witchcraft that I had, that I'd been practicing. I didn't have to give up my position as president of the Excessive Drinking Society. There wasn't that kind of stuff. But in another way, was it a dramatic moment? Well, God moved me from death to life. That's fairly dramatic, isn't it? That spiritually I was brought to new life in Jesus. And if you know Jesus as your saviour, that's your story too. Even if you can't remember a time when you became a Christian, even if you grew up in a Christian family and always went to church, even if you've never been a mafia drug lord, still, you have a wonderful story that's worth sharing of how you called on the Lord and he heard your voice. And not just at that initial moment of coming to know him, but through your life since. Moments where you've called on him and he has heard your voice. And again, they may not have felt like dramatic moments. You may not have been in some kind of, you may not have been taken hostage by a mafia drug lord and had to escape miraculously through some circumstances. But you will have had moments of desperation, I'm sure, where you've cried out to the Lord and he heard your voice. And those are stories that are worth sharing in the presence of all his people, sharing with each other, to encourage each other, to keep crying out to him, looking to him as the one who can deliver. One of the privileges I have as a pastor is I get to hear lots of these stories when I speak to you and visit you and have phoned you, hearing stories of how you've cried to the Lord and he's answered. That's always encouraging. And I'm sure I could be better at sharing those stories with you so you can be encouraged too. And as we share them to encourage each other, well, our longing is that others would come to call on the name of the Lord as well. We talk about what the Lord has done in our lives and call on others to come, to call on the Lord, that they can say, I love the Lord because he's heard my voice. And maybe tomorrow, you never know, maybe tomorrow someone will ask you, why do you love Jesus? And hopefully, Psalm 116 has helped you to think a bit about what your answer will be if someone asks you that tomorrow. I love the Lord because he's heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. He's delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Let's pray.